live from the world headquarters in Little Rock, Arkansas, directly across the street from the Bill Clinton Bada Bing Strip Club and Presidential Library. It is Shenanigans. We are back for another week. I am George, and we just want to acknowledge that we do these recordings on Monday, and that would explain our special intro. At this point, we're hoping all goes well, but you know, our hearts go out to Mr. Petty and his family. So, with that being said, my name is George. To my immediate left is Charlie. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
Oh, we're going to turn Charlie's microphone down for the majority of the evening. To Charlie's immediate left is the world-famous, the immortal Howie Balaban.
Good evening, guys. I have my own mic this time. You're going to hear me.
When you got to speak up, too.
I'm not going to yell, though.
No,
I'm
don't yell.
Speak up.
Don't yell. You yell enough during the hockey game.
I yell enough at my kids.
Attaboy.
This is my escape.
And then, of course, the lovely and talented, soft and silky, Rich Dodge.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
That works. So what's going on, guys? How we doing?
Did you introduce Craig?
No.
Okay.
I don't need any introductions.
No, you don't need any introduction? Okay.
You want me to introduce Craig?
Well, it would only be fair.
And then Craig. Hi, Craig.
Hi.
Okay, there you go. I introduced Craig.
Yay.
So what's going on, guys, besides the obvious?
It was a bad weekend.
It was a bad weekend, a bad Monday. But you know what? I mean, it's not going to help, that's for sure. But somehow we'll get all past it, move on to other things. Don't worry, this country will find ways to screw plenty of other things up this week. So
it always does.
Oh, yeah.
It always does.
That is our lasting legacy.
Is this something we should discuss?
No, not really. Not really, but, you know, it's kind of hanging out there, so we just figure we just get it out, talk about it. I do have a Facebook story to start with, though.
I love that story so far.
Yeah, well, no. So this
Farmers one, only, right?
You're going to do that every week?
No.
Good. We'll write you some new material. So I'm going through Facebook and just kind of trying not to end Facebook on the day the way it was ending. And I'm part of these groups. Where's your microphone control? Because I'm going to turn you right off for a second. So I'm part of these groups. I like Christmas, so I'm part of Christmas groups and, you know, music. And I like to talk to people about things that interest me. And, yes, I have your microphone covered for now. No, I'm not moving my hand. I am not moving. You're going to shut up?
He might stand up.
He's going to say something smart-ass.
No.
All right, anyways. So I'm flipping through, and there's a bunch of older people, older than me, on the vintage Christmas.
Really old.
Yeah, really old. And they talk about all their old traditions. And you know how Facebook's got that thing where the first 10 or 12 words of a post are, like, really huge? And then if it stays that way, then the words shrink after a while. If you leave the post 8 or 9 words, it's going to be huge letters. So I'm flipping through, and one of the nice little old lady on one of the Christmas pages I frequent asked a question. It's a simple, traditional Christmas question. Big letters on Facebook. Does anyone here ever play Hide the Christmas Pickle? And
oh my goodness.
Yeah. And
things are lonely at the nursing home.
I never heard of that. I've heard it called other things.
I imagine if they do, that they have a very lively Halloween season.
Hide the Christmas Pickle. My response was, of course, yes, every chance I get, but that was a typical wise guy response. And then another guy posted, relieved that I had said something, saying, boy, I'm glad you said it first because I was thinking the same thing. And I'm like, every guy that read that question thought the same thing.
You know what? I'm willing to bet there were quite a bit of ladies who probably thought the same thing as well.
Hide the Christmas Pickle.
Yes.
So many responses you could have used. Is that what the kids are calling it these days? You know, what kind of family are you? You know, those kinds of things. But
is the pickle kosher?
A simple yes.
Is this pickle kosher?
Is it a dill? And then you can just take that in a variety of different ways.
And then someone responded, another nice old lady responded, that doesn't sound like very much fun because it sounded it would be all wrinkled and limp. And she meant a pickle. And I just, at that point, I had to stop. Because I had to stop. The internet had righted itself for me for a couple minutes, and I had to move on.
Well, the internet is fun if you know what you're looking for. If you don't know what you're looking for, which is unfortunately describing a very accurate description of far too many people in this population, the internet is not fun. The internet is a bastion of misinformation.
Bastion.
The bastion.
A bastion. Bastion. What do you think, Rich?
He thinks Bastion is just another character name in Neverending Story.
Oh, so now you're Rich's mouthpiece?
Falcor.
Did you see the Honest trailers for that? The guy says, you know, watch that movie again now when you're a grown up, and there's a scene where Falcor's like, oh no, you just go. I like to watch. And you just think to yourself, oh my God, what were we watching as kids?
Well, there's a movie, there's a line from the movie The Founder that I watch incessantly about the creation of the Golden Arches. And in the scene, Ray Kroc, played by Michael Keaton, asks about the Golden Arches, and the guy's playing Dick and Mac McDonald. Mac McDonald says, that's a little bit of dick magic right there.
Wow. The dirtiest thing to ever get past the censors on NBC was on 30 Rock. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right.
There we go. That sounds really good.
The main character's name is Liz Lemon. She's Tina Fey's character.
It was a great show.
Tina Fey.
But they had her have a birthday party or a housewarming party or something like that. And she invited her parents, and her parents couldn't come. Well, she throws the party anyway, and lo and behold, her parents, including her father Dick, show up. And she says, oh, my God, I can't believe you guys made it. And he says, well, it wouldn't be a party without old Dick. Oh, it wouldn't be a lemon party without old Dick. I totally blew the punchline. Damn it.
So it's like Howie. You got to it quicker, though.
What?
It's like Howie, but you got to it quicker. Howie's really good at.
I'm legendary among George and Craig for telling terrible jokes and ruining the punchline and spending 15 minutes of their lives.
No, it's not just that.
Wait.
Howie will text us. Howie will text us these 8-page jokes and then forget the punchline. So we're reading this.
He goes,
thing,
let me get back to you.
And then, yeah, he texts us these 8-page jokes and it gets towards the end and we're like,
what was the beginning of the joke?
What? Oh, I forget.
It's not that important.
Thanks, Howie. Charlie is here. He's just not saying anything. He has nothing to contribute.
Well, he does have a lot to contribute. He's your lighting tech, right?
Yes.
Have you discovered that the best way to light George is in black?
Black light is cool. Ha ha, black lights don't work like you think they do, George.
No, I just meant black. And I meant black lights, like as in no light.
Yeah, he's learned not to do that.
From behind.
Hey.
What are you seeing now?
Jesus, it's a light show, for God's sake.
I believe this
the
is...
The hell's the matter with you?
This is an appropriate draw for... Is that what they call it now? If it's got a light show from behind?
Like, is that what the kids call it these days? That's what the line would be. Is that what the kids call it these days? Good Lord.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I stopped watching Alec Baldwin as President Trump, because
old and it's the same joke all the time.
As much as I thought it was funny at first, now it's just basically, well, this is how much of an idiot we think President Trump is. And then they did the Puerto Rico sketch. Now, I don't know if you've seen the Puerto Rico sketch yet.
I haven't watched any of SNL from this past weekend. Not yet. I will, but I haven't yet.
Yeah, you might want to check out the Puerto Rico sketch. It's just Baldwin and the mayor of Puerto Rico, someone playing the mayor of Puerto Rico. And it's actually different. It's still very funny. Not as funny as Vicente Fox, but it's funny. And if Vicente Fox ever starts his own podcast, I'm subscribing. That guy is hilarious.
Will he subscribe to ours?
Can I ask him?
You can.
Did Ron Jeremy ever respond?
No.
We didn't exactly put it out there either. Ha!
That's his job.
Oh, God.
I did see the sketch where there were the three, Gosling and Cecily Strong and Kate McKinnon, were playing alien abductees. and Kate McKinnon essentially stole the show and forced Ryan Gosling. You could tell he was breaking character and he was laughing hysterically, but his back was turned because she was quite literally.
You know
literally.
That word doesn't exist anymore, right? You know that?
This is not the figurative literally. This is the literal literally.
Does that still exist?
Right. She was shoving her face right into Gosling's butt cheeks. And it was, in the context of the sketch, it was hysterical.
The problem I'd have is if I laugh too hard, I fart.
You know, I'm wondering if poor a story Kate like McKinnon. That won't come out.
That's it. You're out of the human centipede.
I didn't know we were planning one.
No, you didn't.
I didn't. No, I didn't. That makes me wonder where I'm going to be. Oh, I did want to take. I just want to take a quick moment. We brush with greatness for this week. Jim Pastrick and Carl Russo. I don't know if you guys recognize the names.
Russo's from 97 Rock.
Yes.
So is Jim Pastrick.
Jim Pastrick. They are now part of the Buffalo Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
It's about time.
And two gentlemen that I converse with fairly regularly on Facebook, and Russo when I see him in person. So there's my brush with greatness. Two Hall of Fame broadcasters, which the five of us will never be. But
we can make our own.
We can make our own. Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to make our own award show.
Yeah.
And our own Hall of Fame. And still leave Charlie out of it.
Speaking of Hall of Fame, I'm not a Bills fan. I watch the Bills, but I'm not a Bills fan.
Saying that,
how
the
hell is Steve Tasker not in the Hall of Fame?
It's
he's not?
No, he's not. I'll tell you exactly why. Because he's not good enough as a receiver, and they don't put special teams guys in.
He wrote the book on special teams.
Yeah. They don't put special teams guys in, except Ray Guy. Morton Anderson. There's another kicker that's in there. So
because Morton Anderson was like 68 when he kicked his last field goal.
It's because he's the Buffalo Bill. There's enough Buffalo Bills from that team in the Hall of Fame. I'm pretty sure the Hall of Fame said,
they could have a whole wing for the Buffalo Bills.
They could.
Steve Tasker deserves to be in that Hall of Fame.
Sure he does. And if Steve Tasker wants to plead his case on shenanigans, he can go ahead and contact us and plead such case.
That would beg the question, which Hall of Fame excludes the most players based on we don't put that kind of player in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, boy.
Is it a special teams guy? Is it a reliever, a middle reliever? Is it a, I don't know, how many different position players from the NBA, what position has the fewest representatives? We've got football, we got baseball, basketball, and hockey,
Hockey
seems to be pretty even.
Uniform, yeah.
I guess the biggest comparison I would make would be baseball and like middle relievers.
Why would you put a middle reliever in the Hall of Fame?
In today's game, you got to think about 15, 20 years from now, are they going to be looking at middle relievers and holds as a stat? Or like Goose Gosch has had like 300 saves. How many of them were more than one inning? Rivera had over 600 saves.
The microwave is on, just so you know.
That's correct.
It's going to go ding soon, too.
You can't hear me, but you can hear the damn ding. All right.
Yeah, well, it speaks up louder than you do. No, I just like when Justin Verlander won the MVP a couple of years ago, the big complaint was pitchers shouldn't get the MVP because they don't play for an entire season and, whatever. If he wins you 20, 25 games, I think he's pretty important to your team.
I agree with that. There are exceptions to pitchers winning MVP that prove the rule that the MVP should go to a position player. But if the MVP goes to a pitcher, that pitcher better have a very convincing argument. A pitcher winning 20 to 25 games, that's a pretty convincing argument.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Charlie? All the baseball you watch.
Mm-hmm. So, the Hall of Fame, every time you think that Pete Rose may get some momentum into getting that lifetime ban.
I'm glad you added to that sentence.
Yeah. Lifted, he does something stupid. The latest is, I thought she was 16. Because 16 is legal age.
I thought that was Lawrence Taylor, or they both do it.
Apparently, they both have done it. Because there's allegations. The funny thing is, Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame. I went to the Hall of Fame a couple of years ago. I walked through the door. The very first jersey I see is Pete Rose's, hanging behind the admissions desk. So he's
safe,
in.
Is it safe for restroom use only?
No. So he's in the Hall of Fame.
You know who else used to do that was Jimmy Page. He's also in the Hall of Fame.
For dating underage girls?
If there's a Hall of Fame for it, sure. He can be in that, yes.
And Chuck Berry. And
Chuck Berry was famous for doing that. Well, he was famous for a lot of
things. Was it the Mann Act? He took her across state lines?
Yeah, actually, I remember that. Chuck Berry was accused of kidnapping a girl, an underage girl, or taking her across state lines.
For immoral purposes.
Yes, immoral purposes. He wanted her to do his laundry.
That's sexist.
What's wrong with being sexy?
Sexist. There's nothing wrong with being sexy. I know it. I
Howie,
am every day.
Howie is sexy.
That's right.
Howie's the reason we have thousands of listeners to hockey games just to see him on the radio.
That's right. That's right.
Just to see him on the radio.
That's
yeah.
right. I got Howie, the perfect face for radio.
Perfect face.
Don't you forget it.
Perfect face for radio. Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
And what are you talking about?
Well, he's looking at my laptop.
He's
looking
at a computer screen. I'm like, I don't
no,
see
no,
what
I'm
talking
gonna,
about.
I'm trying to figure out how to say this in a tactful way.
Since when?
Screw you, CNN. Is that tactful?
That's tactful.
That's tactful. Yeah. Yes, yes. There's one thing that I agreed with. Really? You still sick?
No.
Okay. Then what do you call that?
Clearing his throat.
Who the hell's banging on the table?
That was me.
It's killing my ears.
Yeah, the whole game. Did you realize that the whole game that we were doing the game Sunday, me and Howie and Craig did a hockey game on Sunday, and for some reason I had my microphone in my hand, and I would kind of hide it down by my lap and just watch the game. What I didn't realize I was doing was I was banging it against
the wall. I'm going, George, there's something wrong with the microphone. Maybe Caleb's. So there's all these pops. And
so Craig, I'm talking to Craig, and he goes, hey, we got to do something about this podcast. We got to buy new microphone cables. It's just popping everywhere. And I thought, I'm not going to tell him. No,
I knew it was his. Because you tell that. You know.
I'm like, oh, okay, I'll tell you. I kept putting the microphone underneath the table and smack it against something, the backside, so the backside does work.
It was muffled.
It does work.
It was little George.
No. That would have been massive banging. No.
We're not going down that rabbit hole. No, we're not. Go back to what you're talking about with CNN before you go way off course here, please.
I tried for so long.
Although you are talking about two of the same thing.
To get
you know.
The nickname the big unit, it just didn't stick. Anyways, what was I saying?
We don't know.
I don't know, but Howie was just tapping on his stand. I could hear that, too.
I'm sorry.
We have yet to learn the professionalism of being on the radio.
You were saying.
That was a good answer.
which is fine because we have no FAA rules. Nobody caught that. FCC. Was it?
We don't have any FAA rules either.
We don't. No. As far as I know, we don't.
Those drones are only listening.
Not taking pictures.
For now.
That's what they told me. So what else is going on? No, actually, my thing with CNN is the only thing that I agreed with the head clown in chief is CNN is a lot of fake news. It really is. You follow CNN when they follow a breaking story. And, man, it goes in 15 different directions, and 14 of them never happened. How is that responsible journalism? How do they get away with that?
It's not.
It's sensationalism, and people eat it up.
It is, and they're not alone.
I
understand why you single them out. Do you watch them the most, or do you watch other ones?
Yeah, no, I tried watching Fox News, and I got ill. So.
I tried watching any 24-hour news network, and at this point in time, I can't stomach any of them.
Yeah, I don't watch as much as I used to.
They do the same drivel all the time. It's like, well, this is what we think we know, and it's like, okay, so you don't know yet.
Which leads to a round table. Round table.
That tweet that you retweeted earlier today was perfect.
I don't know how I have not seen that before, and I'm going to punch it up.
Would you like to clue us in, or we have to guess?
Yeah, basically.
Guess.
Yeah, guess. But no, the issue I have with the 24-hour cable news stations is that lost in the shuffle of the 24-hour news cycle is the goal to get it right.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody now is, let's get it first, and we'll worry about the facts later.
That's what Denzel said.
And the funny thing is, it harkens back. You know, have you guys seen, was it Ed Randall who does the Mark Twain shows?
Mike Randall.
Sorry, Mike.
No,
he's a listener.
Okay, yeah. That's great.
He should be on our show.
I saw him.
He never calls in.
I don't know.
He should.
He's got my number.
He should.
Mike, if you're listening,
I saw.
We're recording this. He can't be listening.
I know.
Craig's getting a phone call.
That's ridiculous.
Craig's getting a phone call 3:30 on Friday. What do you want?
No, but I saw him do one of his live Mark Twain shows before. It was an excellent show. And for anybody who is listening and you have a chance to go see it, go see it. But he was great.
That'll be $50, Mark.
Yeah. At one point, Mark Twain was a writer or editor for the Buffalo News.
Mike, not Mark.
Mark Twain, Mike Randall.
I said but Mike Randall, though.
Okay. Yeah, okay. The Buffalo Courier.
Okay, what? So it was a Buffalo newspaper.
Yes.
It became the Buffalo News?
No. The Courier Express went bye-bye.
Okay. But the point I'm getting at is the comment from Mark Twain at that point was, get the story first. Worry about the facts later. And that seems to be what every journalist on the 24-hour news is doing today.
He was being facetious when he said it.
Right. But the thing is, nobody picked up on it, and now we're all living by, you know, that issue. So I have found this tweet. The Breaking News Consumer's Handbook from On the Media, I think it is. So I'm just going to read. There are 9 things here. So anybody who's listening, we're getting serious here for a moment on Shenanigans.
Because, I doubt that highly.
Well,
just for a moment. It's
just for a moment.
Yeah, I won't let you do that, Howie.
In the immediate aftermath, news outlets will get it wrong. Don't trust anonymous sources. Don't trust stories that cite another news outlet as the source of the information. There is almost never a second shooter. Pay attention to the language the media uses, because we are getting reports could mean anything. We are seeking confirmation means they do not have it. And so-and-so news outlet has learned means it has a scoop or it is going out on a limb. Always look for news outlets close to the incident. Compare multiple sources. Big news brings out the fakers and photoshoppers. And always beware of reflexive retweeting, because some of this is on the American public. If you retweet something that's wrong and it's viral immediately, then thousands of people have wrong information.
Do you see if Facebook's going to turn over 3,000 ads that were sponsored by the fake news Russian people, whatever it was?
I saw something. I've stopped even reading that.
Yahoo and Google are doing it now, too.
Don't forget the 10th one. It's whatever our sponsors say is what we're going to go ahead and put up on the air.
Well, that, too.
We are getting reports that today is Monday.
Yes.
Can you confirm that?
We're looking for sources now.
What calendar?
What
calendar? We use the Gregorian calendar, right? Like the chant people?
News has learned that tomorrow may be Tuesday.
Really? Really? And what does Takamata have to say about this?
Takamata? You can't Takamata anything. What is the point of a presidential library? I've been wondering this almost.
So where he keeps all his overdue library books.
I got a library at home. I think it's pretty presidential.
The Holly Balaban Presidential Library? You were never president.
I plan on being president, so where should I have my library?
You won't even run for mayor.
No, I want to start big.
Go big or go home. It's a good Actually, in his case, it'd be go bake or go home.
Go bigly. It's the old Obama-Trump, you know, thing, where if I'm going to run for office, I'm going to run for the big office, the one I'm not qualified for. Although Obama was a lot more qualified than Trump. But
he wasn't qualified for governor of New York either.
Who?
Trump.
No. I know.
We're getting way too serious, guys.
Let's way up too the serious.
Mood. Well, there's no alcohol.
There's some in the refrigerator. I have these foo-foo drinks that you probably like, George.
The who?
Foo-foo.
Foo-foo.
What's
not foo-foo fighters.
Don't you mean
foo-foo? They fight foo. That's what Dave Letterman used to say.
Frou-frou. Foo-foo.
All right.
Foo Fighters.
Here, I'm going to lighten the mood. This is my daughter's drawing of bowling pins. What does that look like to you?
Oh, I've seen that. That's awesome.
Ah, looks like bombs being dropped on somebody.
Well, you're a very violent person, George.
I know that.
Show it to Charlie.
Am I supposed to say it looks like 10 wieners?
Show that to Charlie. I bet he doesn't see bombs.
What do you see?
That's 10 bowling
Charlie
pins.
Charlie saw wieners immediately. All right.
So, yeah, I can go either way on that one.
Now, Howie is
it still does not beat the what is it the book?
Larry the picture. We gotta lighten the mood though. Yeah, I know.
We're
gonna
be no, we're not talking about that picture.
We're not gonna talk about the picture of the Wang on Craig's wall.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight. Do you hum that when you walk in this room?
No.
Oh,
I sit.
You will now.
When I sit for dinner, I sit where Charlie's sitting right now. And every once in a while, when I turn to look, I catch out of the corner of my eye and go, "What the hell is that?"
So to clarify. The which bacon bit drew that?
Josephine, the 7-year-old.
The youngest.
Yeah.
The youngest bacon bit. Drew a lovely picture.
It's supposed to be his nose, I think.
No, let's both like describe what we're
but
talking about.
But there's taint there.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
So that's not a self-portrait, then?
No.
Looks... It looks.
You take a picture of it and put it on the website.
It looks
we
like.
We want to do the same thing with the pictures that Howie had last week.
We tried
book
to, yeah.
reading one and.
We. Well, yeah. It looks like a picture that Joseph was standing underneath a male subject.
No, let's be honest here.
Come
please.
On, what does the heart look like to you?
No. We have to. We need to. Just, we need
like
to preface butter. All this. We are describing artwork drawn by a seven-year-old and at the time, like a 6.5-year-old. All right, these are two little kids who don't know any better, and they were thinking they
that's
would
what
be
makes
really
it funny.
Cute. Exactly. It is funny because we're grown adults who've never grown up.
Well, most of us are.
And we look at that, and we do not see a face with a nose. We see something else. I look at the bowling pins my daughter drew. I don't see bowling pins.
You
see
a woman, a guy
else.
Reading a book, and you think he's not reading a book. Is that what he was doing?
Oh, that one, yes. Yeah. You look at that one, the picture of the guy, you know, reading a book, you know, getting ready to put it in a safe. He ain't being safe, or we don't know whether he's being safe, because it did not look like a book.
You can't get pregnant that way. So I guess he is being safe.
True.
You know, no one that's listening to this has any idea what you're talking about.
We're talking
we
about
will.
Pictures.
We're going to put the picture up.
You promise?
Yeah, we're going to make a shenanigans Facebook page.
Just a separate page?
Yeah.
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 And we got to make up Charlie's South Park avatar.
I thought you already did that.
Nah, it didn't work.
It came out all grainy.
Yeah, it looks like crap.
You look like, what's Kyle's little brother's name? Kevin.
No.
No. The Canadian
Spike?
One.
Spike?
Yeah, you look like the
Ike.
Yeah,
Ike.
Yeah, you
Ike.
Look like the Canadian. We all look like where you look like the Canadian. Like your head's all like chopped off in half or something.
Ike,
like that.
Ike. So no one knows what a presidential library is for. So why do we spend so much money on them?
We don't spend it, do we?
You don't think they
yeah,
spend $50,000 on a toilet? $20,000 on a hammer?
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not.
I thought the taxpayers paid for that.
No.
Oh really? Leftover campaigns funds? They still have leftover campaign funds when they get out of office? Hey,
President Obama had $1 billion for his campaign.
What?
You think he spent $1 billion on that campaign himself? No way.
He certainly didn't help his Democratic successor.
A billion dollars.
He raised
$1 billion
to run for president.
How?
$1 at a time.
I really find that hard to believe.
Did you know that
he
some
was
steak
the first
cost $10,000?
He was the
what?
You go to a fundraising dinner, $10,000 for a steak.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. A steak.
You could be eating a whole cow.
That better come with some hookers and blow with that too.
He was the first candidate to raise $1 billion for a presidential campaign.
Does that account for inflation?
I think so.
Does that account for inflation?
Well, it's a legitimate question.
That's what she said.
I don't Rich is trying so hard.
Rich sent me this awesome thing about boob goggles. So
I don't see you. Are you sending this to the whole group or just to him? Oh, that's great. That's just wonderful.
So these boob goggles, they help women envision better knockers. What would they look like with bigger ones or more shapely ones?
So in other words,
so
a modern-day real-life version of Weird Science.
Right. Shenanigans is starting a GoFundMe page so we can get one. We can get a pair, and we'll tell you about it.
So it's kind of like that software, like you can figure out what the new rug is going to look like in your room before you buy it.
Or like,
except this is the boobs, not the rug.
Or like the updated app for you know, the local home improvement
we
store that shows you what the color
we could probably rewrite some of the coding in it so it would show us the rug, too.
And they call it gherkin, those toupees.
We already talked about the gherkin. That was
they hide it
the
at Christmas at George's house.
They already talked about the Christmas pickle. That was earlier in the show.
In my house, I would hide it right behind a menorah.
Oh, my.
No.
8 crazy nights.
I'd make sure it was kosher.
No.
Light it on fire.
Not
when
gonna
I
do it.
Let the candles.
Yeah, so I don't.
Do those goggles? No, this is a serious question. Would it work for a guy trying to get in shape? Like, what would I look like if I had like some defined pecs?
You know what every guy would use that for. He wouldn't use it for his pecs.
No,
he would use it
for
his package.
That's what he say he was.
And then take a picture of the virtual reality and say, "Listen here, baby."
And put that on Facebook. You'd see all these.
We'd all go Anthony Weiner.
14-inch junk on the internet because of these.
Every angle.
Touchy.
This is.
I don't want to know what I look like from behind. So I don't have mirrors.
Tell me my ass was so big.
No idea.
Oh, man. That was a perfect tie for a Spaceballs reference.
And it worked.
Yeah, it did.
Way to go, Howie.
Snotty beamed you twice.
And it was wonderful.
But you could expand on that. I mean, virtual reality goggles will tell women how big their boobs could be. Think about the potential for that. Besides guys trying to imagine their own 14-inch wangs. I mean, this,
if they were true virtual reality, they should show them what it looks like when they're 70. You're going to get these big knockers, and guess what?
They're fake. They'll still be right where they were.
Yeah.
They don't age.
You could look at your bank account with these goggles on it and just imagine, hey, there's seven figures there. Then, that looks pretty good.
Have you guys ever tried virtual reality?
No, I would love to. No, again, we're starting a GoFundMe page. We're building a holodeck in my attic.
No, and you know very well when you mention something like that where he's going to go with that.
So, no, yeah. I'm going to climb Mount Everest or visit the pyramids. That would be what I would do.
You're such a liar.
No, I am infatuated with Egyptian history.
You are infatuated with boobs.
That too, but I am more infatuated with Egyptian history. If I had a chance to visit the Great Pyramid today, I'd say, see you later, and I'd be out the door. Go into the pyramids, though. No. I want to go into the pyramids. Okay. So when they
what do you want Rich to do about it? You're talking to Rich like, look, I want to do this.
There's your laptop. Get coding, I guess.
And you're going to make this happen.
What's he supposed to do about it?
He's the computer guy.
You're the one with access to all the historical pictures.
Yeah, but it's
and
not.
You're the computer guy. Can you do like that one cent a thing or whatever thing, like from Office Space, and you know, just give us all a bunch of extra money?
It never works.
We're starting a GoFundMe.
Oh.
For that very
reason.
Can we
hack into it and do the one penny a thing?
We're going to hack into GoFundMe. Yes.
There's always some inane detail.
Yes, details, like, you know, putting in bank accounts so people can trace. And
there's no
and
red
stole
stable.
They that from Superman 3 anyways.
Office Space?
Yes, I believe they did.
They actually referenced that.
Yes, they say they stole it.
Oh, I haven't seen Office Space in a while. I just remember that, you know.
I haven't either, but I still remember that.
But I do know where my stapler is at home. I do know.
Oh,
that.
Lord.
Let me tell you what
I have a red swing line, actually.
Charlie's going to chime in here.
Charlie.
Say, and we have to put cover pages on those TPS reports.
Oh,
dynamite drop, Muggy. He's the best color man in the league for nothing.
Yeah,
you know what I watched today? Howie is going to love this. I watched The Bronze.
Oh, you finally saw The Bronze.
I watched it today.
Okay, what did you think?
Michelle Roche is even more hot when she's swearing, dropping
F
bombs.
He swears to God he would go to the pyramids if he had virtual reality.
She's so awesome
in
this.
He's such a liar.
And it's a body double in that scene.
I know. But the sex scene in that is
fantastic. It is, oh my God. This is a movie.
He got 10 points for that dismount.
Give me that gold. He was just like, oh my God. No, the movie.
What are you talking about?
Craig and I are talking about a movie. It came out, I think it was last year.
2015.
Okay, a year and a half ago. Or 2 years ago. It's called The Bronze. Stars the guy who plays the Winter Soldier, Sebastian Stan. And it stars the girl who plays Bernadette on The Big Bang Theory, Melissa Roche. Melissa Roche, the one who's married to...
The one that does the Priceline commercials?
No, that's Kaylee Cuoco. This is the other one.
The one with the annoying voice.
Yeah.
She doesn't really talk like that either.
No, she's...
Covers all of them.
Talks
okay, go ahead.
More or less normal, but...
I can go with
basically,
this. Go
she is a bronze medal winning gymnast who wound up being stuck at home. Who plays the dad? Is it Gary Cole?
Yes, Gary Cole's the dad.
Yeah, and Lynn. Basically she...
Lumberg himself.
Exactly. She lives out her life all off of this fame.
It's like Carrie Strug, you know, when she broke her ankle.
Ankle.
Yeah.
Imagine Carrie Strug winning a bronze medal and living all off of the bronze medal.
Isn't that what happened?
No.
They won gold, though.
She won gold?
Yeah, she won gold.
No one cares about the Olympics, so...
The NHL certainly doesn't.
No.
But the movie was hysterical. It was like something you were not expecting, and it was...
It got a 19% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I could see why, but I thought it was funny.
It was funny.
I thought it was like almost over-the-top vulgar, but it was funny.
It was. It was both ways. Yeah. I love how she's stealing bar mitzvah money and birthday money out of her dad's mail truck. It's...
Yes.
You only give me $500 a week. How am I not supposed to steal?
Yeah. Yeah, there was so much wrong with that movie. She like walks in. She's like, "All right, we gotta." If you haven't seen the movie and you're in the mood for something off, watch The Bronze. It was funny.
Okay, so talking about movies, I have a question for you and you too.
That would be Howie and Rich.
Maybe not you. And Charlie, if you feel like saying something, your microphone is on. So
yeah, no.
Yeah, so he,
fly ball.
Yeah, he's not getting, paid by the word. That's for sure. So the movie It.
Sorry. It's just begging to be said.
The movie It, made in 2017, released in 2017, just got accolades. That means that they.
I know what they are.
Okay. So it got accolades for being the highest grossing horror movie of all time. What did it beat? The Exorcist, which was released in 1973.
Did they adjust for inflation?
It did not. And then my question is...
That's a bullshit thing.
Well, it is. And then these guys, someone I read brought up an interesting argument that not adjusting for inflation doesn't necessarily harm the comparison. Now, to me, 1973, your dollar went a lot further.
And also in 1973, there are 1,500 theaters. Today, there are 5,000 theaters.
Well, no, it was doing all right with the number of released theaters. It was like 3,000 theaters, like It. But there's this, and people that are defending this, I don't know if they're the same people as the flat earthers, but they're insisting that 1973 box office is the same as 2017 box office. Does that make sense to you in your rational brain?
No.
Mr. Rich?
I'm going to go with no.
All right. Survey says.
No.
No, they're not adjusting for inflation, but yet the movies... I guess my point
about... They didn't say why?
They just said because it grossed more than The Exorcist that It is now the highest grossing horror movie, and they're doing that to sell more tickets, obviously.
Well, here's a question that you could ask as a possibility. It doesn't make any sense, but I'm wondering if they're thinking of it this way. What did The Exorcist gross? Because I'm going to guess that horror movies by...
This is just domestic, by the way.
Right.
Not international.
That's fine. I'm going to guess that most horror movies don't really have that widespread of an audience as something, say, E.T. would.
I think you're right. I think that...
That movie was a terror.
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
So my imagination was E.T. in the... Where they make contact with a child and then pollute the entire house? I mean, come on.
And Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, and that was just terrible, too.
And
he killed Henry Thomas and Gangs of New York. It's okay.
Maybe here's a better way to look at the movies. What's the profit margin percentage for each of those movies? That would be a fairer way to look at it.
That's another way they might be looking. Right.
But 95% of the gross
was in the first,
was in
six
the first year.
Yeah.
You know, DVD sales.
Now, if you read
cable television, there, it's been on HBO.
Box Office Mojo has it all broken down. the total domestic gross for the Exorcist was like $273 million. Of that, I think 30 or 20 was since 1973.
Okay, so you're just talking about theatrical release then?
Yes. No, they're talking about overall. Everything. Then because The Exorcist...
They've had 43 years to accrue money for the old movie.
They're talking about release. The Exorcist has been released a couple of times since 73, back in the theaters.
You mean the remakes too?
Okay.
No, just the original.
Accounting for inflation, it's $1.862 billion.
The Exorcist?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I keep... Well, is that international or
that's
just
the
domestic?
Thing.
That's but they're not talking about the whole thing.
Well, movies aren't the only kinds of folks who will do something like that. I mean, think of it like... CBS does it, NBC does it, like, it's America's most watched network, or it's, you know, this fall's number one new drama, this fall's number one new comedy, whatever. It's like, says who? What age bracket are you looking at?
According to your mom.
Yeah, man, your mom said that.
That's what she said.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you.
He was going to say it anyway.
We're going
to... I already said what I had to say.
Yeah. But I mean,
good box office mojo.
A lot of times it'll depend on how they want to spin the numbers. There's lies, there's damn lies, and statistics, right?
Well, that's why our hockey broadcasts are award-winning broadcasts. Yeah. They're award-winning broadcasts.
Right.
Sent out to tens of thousands of people because as far as we're concerned, every person that we get on our little knocker thing that says that we got a listener is actually 250,000 people.
That works for us.
Yes.
Makes me feel a lot better.
So we multiply that by how many this says we have, and that's how many listeners we get. We're billions of listeners.
I have a question about The Exorcist. I don't get it.
That's okay, well,
I'm sorry. As somebody who was raised the way I was, I watched The Exorcist. My wife's watching it. She's terrified. She was brought up
Catholic.
She's
brought up Catholic.
I'm watching it. I'm raised as a conservative Jewish guy. I'm watching it. I'm thinking to myself, is this a comedy or what?
Yes, it was.
It
was Repossessed.
I'm like, okay. I watched it in college for a class. And
did you laugh at the part with the 12-year-old girl stabbing herself in the private area with a cross?
I was watching, like, what is going on? This is odd. What am I watching?
She's possessed by the devil.
The devil's got some...
Allegedly.
Well, that's just it.
Allegedly.
Unless I'm mistaken, we don't have a hell, so I'm good.
Oh, so you think you can't get possessed?
No, I'm just saying I'm good.
You're good what?
I don't have a hell. I'm either going to be nothing or I'm going to go somewhere else. But it ain't going to be down below.
So in Judaism, you don't have a hell. Do you have a heaven?
I'm trusting what George Carlin said. You know, he said, you know, Jews
no, no,
got
no,
a great,
no, 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 I'm asking you. I'm asking you.
Yes.
Is there a heaven in Judaism?
Honestly, I'd have to look it up for you.
I don't think so.
You don't
out.
Know?
Honestly, I don't know.
What kind of Judaist are you?
not Judaist, as Judaist, not Judaist. No, I haven't practiced, if you will, and kept up
well,
with
you're
much
never
of the stuff
get it right if you don't practice.
No, that's right. But I'm just curious. The way I was raised, I was watching The Exorcist, and I was severely confused. Okay. Yeah, the same goes for The Passion of the Christ. I'm like, why are people viewing this as anti-Semitic? I don't get what's going on. I had no idea. I didn't know the story.
Whoa. Well, I mean, Holly, all you got to do is, I mean, whether it is or it isn't with The Passion of the Christ, all you got to do is watch the movie to figure out why people think it's anti-Semitic. I mean.
Well, I'm sorry, but, all right, here's my question. If somebody of one faith is killing somebody of the same faith, how is that viewed as?
No, because the okay,
it's people killing their own.
Okay, I explain to you. Okay,
was it not?
I explain to you. The reason that people thought The Passion of the Christ was anti-Semitic wasn't because of what you saw on the screen. It was because of the reaction it was attempting to elicit.
Okay.
It was attempting to get people to think,
there's a
hey,
lot of stuff that just flies over my head.
The Judaists got Jesus killed, therefore, bad Judaists. That's what
I've never heard the word Judaist before. I want to
but
let
what
you
what else would you call someone that who, practices Judaism?
I'm a Jew. That's about as easy as I could put it.
It's not Judaist?
No. It is not. No.
Anyways.
He's a Judaist lock portion.
He's not from Lockport.
No, I'm not.
Medinan.
Dude, what did you say?
Medinian.
Yeah.
Medinian.
Median.
But that's why. Because it's Mel Gibson wanted to elicit the feeling that, hey, you know, bad Judaists, you killed Jesus. And that's Judaists. And that's
those are people who worship Judaism.
And that's why it was. Well, oh, yeah, Jews, that's right.
But that's
yeah.
But the thing is, he was one of their own. So I'm just trying to figure out why it's
also Jewish.
Yeah, I'm aware. So I'm just trying to figure out how that's
he wasn't following the rules.
Yeah, basically he wasn't following the Judaist rules. So they turned him in.
Judaist again.
They turned him.
That's how he knows you.
They turned him into the Romans, and the Romans did all those things to him because of what. I'm not saying it's right because it's not. I'm just saying.
Let's put it this way. All right.
Is there a heaven or hell in Judaism?
Yes.
Both?
I can't pronounce the word. It looks like Gehman. Gehinnom.
You're not making fun of Judaism.
Gehinnom. It's a fiery place of judgment found in the apocalyptic
Holly,
literature of the Second Temple period.
Oh, I was unaware of that.
You have a hell.
Sounds like you got some reading to
it
do.
It sounds like you got how many years of catching up to do?
If that is the case, I'm going to meet a lot of my relatives down there.
Yeah, Howie.
We're all going to hell because we want to make sure we're hanging out with our friends.
Have you seen South Park? It's a very, very selective process to get upstairs. But there are billions upon trillions of people downstairs.
I thought it was the other way around with South Park.
No.
Yeah, well, I
there
South
was only
Park.
About 1,200 people upstairs.
Is there a heaven?
When Kenny goes up to heaven, there's only about 1,200.
Yeah, I'm trying to find
people.
Out where it's at here.
And then when he's like, something happens and he like flies right down.
Oh yeah, that's a.
And it's like basically it's like a pinball machine.
That was the heavy metal episode, wasn't it?
They consider the Garden of Eden a paradise. So Gan Eden and Gehinnom, whatever, however you say that.
I'm sure there's probably a in there somewhere.
However the hell you say that.
Yes. Why are the two non-Jews trying to help the Jew understand the Jewish religion?
Those are the two paths that can be taken.
Look, after my bar mitzvah, I became very lax
general.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ha.
Yeah, ha ha. No. No. Ha, ha. But you know, I'm raising my kids Jewish. These are probably things I should know and read up on.
You think?
We'll ask Alex. He'll know.
Alex seems to know everything. Alex is my son. He seems to know everything. He wouldn't know that, though. I'm pretty sure of that.
The devil's intern? What the heck is that?
There was a book I just read. I was going to bring it up because it talks about how everybody goes to hell and how hard it is to get to heaven.
Well, it's like you go to hell.
Well, based on what you read on Facebook, no one's going upstairs.
It's called heaven. It's called heaven. You can say that.
Well, the pearly gates. No one's going to be up there. No one's going to get up there at all. Based on everything you read on Facebook, you can't do this, and the list is endless.
That's if you subscribe to man-made religion. I, for one, don't. I have my own rules for getting to heaven.
And they are?
Hitchhiking.
But that gets him through the galaxy. What about everything else?
No, you have to hide in the trunk of someone who's definitely going to be able to make it in, and that's one way you can get in.
Your wife is going to make it in. She's a saint.
She has to be. I'm still here, right? Another way you buy your way in. I mean, let's face it, that works everywhere. I don't know if I'm going to have that much money, but you buy your way in. And
just give your gold coins to the boatman and you're good.
You can go to prison and then find religion.
Jesus is in prison because every asshole who goes there finds him.
You ain't wrong in that.
They did a thing on the Son of Sam.
Not everyone. Some of them find his distant cousin.
Here's the question about who I cannot name
because I'll get in trouble from...
Voldemort?
No. Wouldn't...
Spell it in sign language. Yeah, no.
No, it starts with
you
an M.
You just stole third.
It starts with an M. Methuselah.
No.
Mesopotamia.
No, wouldn't it be?
Mucous membrane.
What was Ali's first name?
The prison of finding Jesus. There's one denomination. It's the First Order of Holy Shit, Don't Drop the Soap.
Yeah. I was going to say. David Berkowitz found religion in prison. This is the guy who took marching orders from the neighbor's dog. Threw a hole in his wall.
Oh, yeah, Son of Sam, right?
Yeah, Son of Sam.
Let me tell you, I was down in Key West, and I was over at Bahia Honda Beach, and we went to my parents and my brother and his fiance were out at the beach, and I went down there for the wedding and stuff, and we convinced my dad that we had to go to this beach. We get there, and there's flags flying. Oh, that's cool. They're probably celebrating something.
Shark flags.
Yeah. We were in the water for 2 hours. There were sharks in the water. That's what the flag meant.
What's those pretty flags for, Sean? Sharks?
Excuse me, there's a message for you.
Tell Jarvis to can it. We're busy.
I'm surprised it was on.
Well, now Charlie.
At least he didn't get a phone call that goes, I'm too sexy for this phone.
So that's an interesting thought, though. Religion's man-made. There's nothing pious about any of it. So you can make up your own religion, make up your own rules. Now, we've talked about doing this before, making your own religion.
That would be cool. It's like those guys, remember, it was before Howie's time, but you'll remember this here in Lockport, and Rich will remember this. No, he was living elsewhere.
Oh. Okay.
There were the people from Texas, the Asian people from Texas who came, moved to Akron Road.
Last week.
Because they thought Jesus was coming across Lake Ontario. The white hat,
the white cowboy hat. I lived across one on Willow a while back.
Yeah.
They had a whole house.
They were the best paper boys I have ever had.
Yeah, they're still here.
Wow. I haven't seen them for a long while.
I haven't seen them for years, and I saw one walking down the street the other day.
There'd be like 15 of them in like a Cutlass Sierra driving down the road delivering newspapers.
Religious cult. Used to live here. Wacky people.
Speaking of cults, is anybody looking forward to the miniseries Waco coming up soon?
I didn't know anything about it.
David Koresh?
Yeah. Supergirl's in it.
What a great
Melissa
segue.
Benoist is one of the people in it.
You know, her
Taylor Kitsch from Friday Night Lights.
Right.
He's in it as well. I don't know who's playing David Koresh, but I think there's like a six-part or whatever, several different miniseries part event called Waco.
I watched the three-hour...
Live action.
No, I watched the live action too, but I watched the 3-hour documentary on that, and I don't know if I want to see it in that much detail. That was nasty. That was some nasty stuff. Good subject for a comedy show, Howie. Good idea.
Yeah, it's like the Jim Jones thing.
I'm just saying. We're talking about religion. We got to have fun with it. I mean, this is shenanigans after all. And my other point is, George, I think you're 100% right. Religion is, definitely argue that religion is a man-made thing. George Carlin put it best. I will quote the immortal George. He said, do you know why there are 10 commandments?
Because he dropped the other
five, you know. That was Mel, and he had a point there. You know why there's 10? Because, as George said, 10 sounds official. Moses can't come down with saying, hey, we got 9 commandments, or we got 11, because the second he does, people are like, get the heck out of here. You can give me 9 or 11. 10 sounds official. And then, of course, George went on to break down the commandments to 2, and they were great. And if you haven't seen the bit, you should look it up. But every one of them is, you can question all of them. I'm just saying.
All religions are essentially the same. They all descended from the Greeks, or even before that, I think the Vikings. It's all the same stories. Creation, a messiah, the water part. They even had the
messiah retired in 2004.
So they even had the flood story.
Messiah, M-E-S-S-I-E-R. He retired. Oh, I'm sorry, 05. He retired in 05. I was at his number retirement ceremony in 2006.
You're lucky that Rich is the one sitting next to you. But
Rich has no idea what he's talking about.
Because I won't play footsie with you.
That a boy.
What?
Boy, are you lucky. No, my point is that Craig and I have been talking about creating our own religion for years, and we can sit here and talk about it all we want and then actually do it and people would still follow it. Because people are looking for an answer.
I bet those flat earth people jump right on board.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's our target audience.
Speaking of that, there's this TV show with Leah Remini talking about the Scientologists.
I heard about that. This. Yeah, I didn't watch it.
Fascinating.
I'm tempted to check it out.
Own religion. This guy laid it all out in the last.
Well, I watched that one books. That movie, the other movie. There was a movie before that, too, about Scientology.
Battlefield Earth?
No.
Mission Impossible?
No.
That was the movie about the Bills winning the Super Bowl.
L. Ron Hubbard writes a bad science fiction book. It becomes a religion. See, Howie? Anybody can do it.
Well, that's like I was having this discussion with Craig a while ago. The red wristband that a lot of Hollywood people were wearing at one point, like a decade ago.
Oh, you're talking about that, the game, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about
this. It gave Madonna secret powers to talk like she was almost British.
Right, but all these Hollywood toys are like, what is this red band for? What is it for? It's like, oh, these are for the Jewish study of Kabbalah. I'm here to tell you, Kabbalah is the study of Jewish mysticism. The Jewish mystics hardly understand Kabbalah. They spend their lives studying it. For somebody in Hollywood who makes movies for a living, they have no idea what they're talking about.
Didn't two non-Jews just school you on the Jewish religion not that long ago?
I'm telling you, whatever. Two non-Jews sounds like a great name for a band.
Two non-Jews.
It does sound like a great name for a band.
So,
four non-blondes.
I'm really not sure.
And the song, What's Going On, is so apropos.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I'm going to sit here and listen to you.
I will say this much. I did go to Israel. I have been there before. I got back. I felt less Jewish. Go figure.
And there's our soundbite for the week.
Did we tell you that we
got like a 10,000 hits from your people there last week?
Oh yeah, 10, our website got like a ton of hits from Israel.
Well, they're gonna wonder what the heck I'm talking about if they listen to it again. No, I felt because, like I said,
it's a good thing it's not a call-in show because our lines would be lit.
They would.
I can't wait for people to hear this on Friday.
No, I'm just saying. Like I said, after my bar mitzvah, we moved from a very conservative upbringing where I was to a very practically non-existent upbringing. I mean, there was a very, very small.
Nobody brought you up?
No, Jewish population. It was a very dwindling one down in Olean. All right. Yeah.
Not exactly. Going to say it. Nope. We love you, Olean.
Yeah. So.
And Jamestown. We love you, too.
It was a culture shock for me. So I'm like, all right, well, I feel like I know this, this, and this. I really don't want to go any further. So then I kind of reintroduced myself to it all in college, but it was a big melting pot of different upbringings. You had some who were brought up more strict than others, and I was middle of the road. And now I'm still kind of the higher end of the I'm on a higher end of the low end. If that makes any sense.
Lower middle class.
Even in the Jewish religion, you're middle of the road.
But on the lower end.
On the low end.
Yeah. I'm just high enough to be.
So basically what you're saying is if we need an expert.
Don't ask me.
You're not the Judaist.
Or ask me to give me some time to look. I will do my.
We're going to get mail on it anyway, so why don't just go with it? I mean, no disrespect. It's not as bad as the story about Vegas last week.
I think if you meant disrespect, I would be really upset. Yeah. So I'm not offended.
I used to when I was a kid, because I'd never met a Jewish person until I got to college. So when people would say Judaism, I really thought that the people that practice Judaism, is because the ones that practice Christianity were psychotic, I figured Judaism must be Judaists or Christians, whatever. But apparently it didn't work out that way.
Now, when we were doing shenanigans before, and we had our shenanigans chat, and I asked Howie a Jewish question, George would go nuts. I can't believe you asked him. We'd pop in on its own private chat. I can't believe you asked Howie that question. Why not? You realize he's Jewish. That's why I'm asking him.
I subscribe to the Mel Brooks Jewish line of humor. I figured that. And that is basically, if we can't make fun of ourselves, then we shouldn't make fun of anybody.
This legend is a lot of fun to read about, Joseph Smith.
I went to
great TV
Palmyra. Show. I went to Palmyra to see the temple.
What temple?
The Mormon temple.
There's Mormons in Palmyra?
The Latter Day. That's where it all began.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
I thought it was St. Louis.
There's Mormons in Lockport, guys. Yeah, I know.
But they're all over.
They really are nice people.
Joseph Smith founded the temple.
No, they really are. It's just the religion is a mess.
The golden tablets all were found on a farm in Palmyra.
Where is it then?
Palmyra, New York.
No, the tablet.
Oh, they disappeared mystically.
Mm. All right, so then please.
That sucks. So I went to see the temple because it's a beautiful building. I can't go in.
Why?
I'm not a Mormon.
Good for you.
I want to see, as a historian, and I love architecture and art, I wanted to see the temple, see how beautiful it was and stuff. And I can see the outside, but you're not allowed inside unless you are practicing Latter-day Saint.
So you show up in a plain white dress shirt and black pants. And
I'll just say hi.
I know they walk to my house whenever I don't ask them to.
You should have showed up at 8 o'clock in the morning
and knocked
Saturday.
On the door.
Yeah.
They avoid my house because I invited them in.
That's not Mormons.
Those are the Jehovah's Witnesses. We're getting confused.
No, the Mormons come to the houses too.
Please explain to me why, if it's in Palmyra, the big
because they were persecuted here, so they moved and went to Nauvoo.
Nauvoo.
Yeah, not Nauvoo.
Utah?
No, not Utah yet. And then they went to where they so they
Nibiru?
Yeah.
We just missed that last
week. Last week, yeah.
Yes.
So then they went from Nauvoo out to Utah.
Martha, they're making fun of our religion.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
Yes,
we
are.
Well, Craig's a historian. He has to.
Yes, this is historically accurate, unlike other religious stories. Please continue.
What do you want me to continue with?
I have no idea. Why do I keep thinking St. Louis when I think Mormons?
I don't know. That's where
I think that's where Joseph Smith was. I think that's where he met his end, I believe. I know they got kicked out of Utah by the guy that owns the college.
Brigham Young?
Yeah, him too.
Joseph Smith and Brigham Young were kind of like, they were the leaders of the Mormon church.
Like co-founders.
The co-founders, and they were at odds with each other. So there was a group that followed Brigham Young, and there's a group that followed Smith, and Young won.
Obviously, he's got the college. I don't know where the college came from, but...
He's the religious... Joseph Smith Jr. was an American religious leader and founder of Mormonism and the Latter-day Saint movement. When he was 24, he published the Book of Mormon. He was born in Sharon, Vermont, and he moved in 1817 to the burned-over district of Western New York. So he founded the church. Let's go down to the founding of the church. In Palmyra, New York.
That's fine. How did he die?
I'm pretty sure he was killed.
Yes, I know that, but where?
Nauvoo, Illinois, I believe.
By a lightsaber.
You're bringing up the Scientologists again.
It's all just a mishmash of just a lot of fun. That's let's face it. They all take themselves too seriously, but now that we've mentioned the word.
He died in Carthage, Illinois.
I was close. But anyways, now we're all going to get knocks on our doors.
Lockport has a very interesting history with the Latter-day Saints. Anna Eliza Webb was a 19th wife depending on which source you use, of Brigham Young. And she divorced him and moved to Lockport. She lived on the corner of Walnut and Franklin Street. It's a greenhouse right down about four blocks from my house right now. And she began to give speeches about how bad the Mormon religion was. Now, granted, she believed that marriages should be open. You could have sex with anybody you wanted. And this is in the 19th century, which was way ahead of the 60s. She did make a comment that if you were to put a roof over Salt Lake City, it would be the biggest whorehouse in the world.
Craig Bacon did not make that up.
I did not make that up.
That is historically accurate.
It is a quote.
Send all of your email to Howie Balaban at...
One thing I think we should all mention here is that if you practice a religion and you're listening and your religion is mentioned during this conversation, great. Take pride in your religion. We are not insulting it.
No.
Because anybody who finds
peace... We're trying to insult each other.
Well, right. Anybody who finds peace in religion, good for you. I think what we're trying to say is there are certain things that we were either brought up with that we don't understand, or there are certain things that go on that we don't understand. And the bottom line is, if you can't make fun of things that you don't understand tactfully, which I hope is what we're doing.
I don't know about that.
Then for that, you know,
boob goggles.
Yeah, boob goggles, all right?
And let's face it, some of it's pretty darn silly. Come on, it's silly.
Some of the things that go on in different organized religions are, in fact, quite silly and deserve to be made fun of.
But if you use your religious beliefs to create yourself as a good human being, then that's fine. You know, that, I have no problem with that. It's just if you believe that there's, you know, some kind of, you know, alien souls being released from a volcano and blah, 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 then that's just silly.
But let's take it just a quick breath and remind everybody that your religious beliefs only go so far. If something happens bad in the world, sending thoughts and prayers is great.
Oh, we're going to start talking about that now?
But an empty truck will show up with thoughts and prayers. Right. If you want to help somebody... Or help.
I know, George, you get
need.
Upset when people are sending thoughts and prayers. I think it's well wishes, really.
Yeah, you people want to wish people well, and I agree. And thoughts and prayers seems, at this point, has happened so often in America and everywhere with people dying.
Yeah,
it's almost like
a punchline.
It has become a punchline. Yeah. So I think what I would say to that is, that's great. I don't want your thoughts and prayers. I mean, they'll be nice, but, you know.
Thoughts and prayers make the person giving the thoughts and prayers feel better.
Like if you
they
see,
don't know
if,
anything for the people that need the thoughts.
What I don't want are thoughts and prayers on Facebook. To me, those are empty words.
Most of the words on Facebook are empty because there's a lot of keyboard warriors out there.
Mm-hmm.
They talk big on Facebook, but if they were sitting in front of you, they would never say the same thing.
No. And you know what? That's true because I run into people from Facebook that I've gotten some pretty good rows with. Row. They don't say a word. They know who I am. They don't say a word to me about anything.
You're 6'7". They're afraid of you.
Well, Rich is tall, too.
You're 6'7". They're afraid of you.
I'm 6'3".
Okay.
See? I'm only 6'4". But, no.
I'm 5'10", and if I don't shave, I look like a domestic terrorist. So, I mean, what not a domestic
shave,
one.
You look like a young Eugene Levy.
There you go.
That one I'll take. Yeah. I will take that one. Yeah.
Can you get the voice?
The
American Pie voice.
Off, actually.
Let's see. Jim, there's a lot you can do with a well-placed thumb.
That's not bad.
That's a great one.
That's the best I could come up with on short notice. There was a guy.
That was fun.
There was a guy on my floor, freshman year of college. He sounded exactly like Howard Stern, and he looked like a young Harold Ramis.
Was he short?
He was my height.
So you're short.
Shorter than you.
What exactly did you do with your thumb with him?
No, I'm just met you. Jeez, I walked on that one.
I just want to point out, we had two rules before we came into this: no politics and no religion. And what did we hit today?
Both.
Yeah, but it was
not supposed to.
But it was funny.
I just looked up at George, and I saw right out of the corner of my eye that picture again.
Oh yeah. It's like giving him carrot ears, like
you
this.
Know what? I'm not sure that's religiously accurate. If I look at that the right way.
The picture is definitely disturbing Howie. JoJo's picture has finally gotten to Howie. It took an hour and a half, but it got to Howie.
No, it's not getting me from there. It's not drawn that big.
I have no... not drawn that big. Howie.
Not as bad as your cat.
That was
no, no.
Wait,
no.
What?
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about Howie's dickhead cat.
Oh, okay. Do you have the picture to show Rich real quick?
I can sincerely say that I have.
I have. My family, we have four cats. And one of them.
Howie, got, you're a cat, too.
I'm a cool cat.
Yeah.
Howie the cool cat.
Yeah. So one of them has a very distinctive fur pattern on his face. And that's his face right there. And if you look at it really carefully, you can see the distinctive fur pattern.
Very classy.
Very, very clearly.
Why would you dye your cat to look?
I did not dye my cat.
It's drawn to scale.
This was something I did.
It's drawn to scale.
Better than the picture.
Now, we got this cat as a kitten. He was just a few weeks old. And I picked him up at one point. And
so what you're saying is gotten bigger over time.
He's grown into it. The only
so
thing
originally
is
it was drawn to scale.
He's grown into it.
But the really, really bad part about it is, you know, you figure that, you know, young adult males, they grow up and their voices change. This cat has always had a very, very petite meow. I don't think anything ever happened for this guy except on his face. It only grew bigger on his face.
Does he head?
There we go. There we go.
Does he ever walk by you and headbutt you?
So, for clarification,
sexual assault.
Right.
Poor Howie's cat's face.
That's a better
the
shot.
The fur is in the design of a wiener.
Yes, we totally need these photos for our shenanigans page. So people know what we're talking
but
about.
But I gotta say, this was something that was not recognized.
Try to scale.
Okay. I know.
Just like the bowling pins.
Can we say cock and balls?
Cock and balls.
That's what it looked like.
At this point, yeah. I mean,
why not? Why not?
Otherwise, it looks like a rocket ship.
it looks like bowling pins.
Well, the funniest part about the whole thing. The worst part about this all is that my wife and I, we've mentioned this before to people who stopped by, like, at one point, I got picked up by some family members because we were going out of town, and King Henry is his name.
That's illegal,
right?
Except for in West Virginia.
It could have been worse. You could have named him King Richard.
We should have, but he was named before it was recognized because
Peter.
Yeah, that works. No. At that point, he walked by, and immediately every guy who walks in sees him goes, "Oh my God!" I didn't recognize until I picked him up one night. He'd only been in the house for a couple weeks. I picked him up. I'm feeding him, and I go to. I picked him up. I was going to go a little bit further and say I was petting the cat, but then you're going to just take that in a different direction.
Yeah.
And I walked over to my wife. I'm like, we had a problem. And she says, what's the matter? I said, look at Henry's face. And she starts looking at it and goes, oh, no, this poor cat. And I'm like, yeah.
It makes it difficult to pet the cat.
Well, the worst part about it is that all three of my kids, at this point,
how much you like the cat.
All three of my kids only think it's a mustache. That is all they think. And when people stop by, my kids point out the fur pattern, not knowing what they're pointing out. They look at King Henry's mustache, and the adults go, they look at me, they're like, that's not a mustache. And I'm like, no, it's not.
It's a rocket ship.
So
hey,
Rich,
Howie, your cat's got a dick on its face.
Did anyone ever call you Dick as a kid?
No, that was actually my dad's name.
Okay. I used to work with a guy named Rich, and I asked him if he had nicknames when he was a kid. He goes, well, my older brothers called me Dick until I realized what they meant.
Yeah. Well,
and you're a junior, right?
I'm a second.
You're a second?
That's right.
And your kid's the Trey.
Put that on a table. I'll chase it like a cat.
Uh-huh.
I got one that's brighter.
Nobody heard that, Charlie.
I got one that's brighter.
Yeah, they're playing with flashlights, so they're chasing around the room.
And mine actually.
Blinks.
Strobes.
It's actually light. SOS for, my God, is this show done yet?
And there's
He's a light guy. So, well, I think that we should end it on that note because that was pretty good.
Okay, bye.
Celebrity invite? Steve Tasker?
Yeah. Yeah. Have him see if he actually shows up.
Let's not ask him anything about religion.
Ask him if he can give Ron Jeremy a lift.
Right.
I'm in a ride.
After the conversation we just had, yes, you better, you know, add a qualifier on that. Yeah.
So the second episode of the Shenanigans is called the Breaking All the Rules episode because we just did that.
Yeah, we had a preset set of rules.
Yeah, and we just broke almost every single one of them.
Yeah.
But damn it, it was funny.
Except for the F-bomb.
Anyway. You're
no,
fucking
no F-bombs.
Right. So,
because that would give George extra work to do. And then beep.
Yeah, I get a beep. So anyways, that'll do it. We want to thank everyone for tuning in for the...
Charlie's going to see something.
Charlie?
That'll do, pig. That'll do.
We waited for that?
I'm gonna get,
I said it earlier. I'm going to say it again. Dynamite dropping, Monty. You got the best colored man in the league for nothing.
We're good. For Rich, Howie, Charlie, Craig,
Wait
and myself.
Wait a minute. Your earphones are on. How
yeah, but I can hear him because he's so loud. Hey, we heard him in the...
We want to thank you for joining us on the...
You really wants to go home.
Yeah.
No, I'm just because we got to end it like that because otherwise we're going to keep talking and it's going to get repetitive and boring.
Kind of like me at the end of a hockey game.
At the beginning,
in the middle.
It's
still hot.
In the intermission.
Yeah.
So anyways, thanks for listening, everyone. We will see you next week. Have a good night from Shenanigans.